tells us we do really have some free choice, because we don't really have free choice when it comes to how things play out in the world, but we certainly have free choice for our own moral decisions. And sometimes we make bad decisions morally, which means we made a bad decision where we actually had a choice to choose right over wrong, or we didn't, and there were some consequences to that.
You are listening to The JP Show,
where we discuss the issues you care about from a Jewish perspective.
I am Rabbi G.
And I am Rabbi Levy.
And we hope you enjoy this episode.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of The JP Show. I'm here with Rabbi Levy. And I actually, for real, have no idea what we're going to talk about. Sometimes my lady sort of just gives me a general topic and then throws the detail at me later. But this time, I have absolutely no idea. So, Rabbi Levy, over to you.
All right.
I'm excited as everyone else to know what we're going to talk about.
So, it might not be such an exciting topic, actually. But I think it's an important one. So, we're in the saddest time period of the Jewish year.
Yep.
Generally speaking, we're told to be happy. Even now, actually, we're told to be happy as much as we're allowed to be. But there are certain things which we do in these, what's called the 9 days, the first 9 days of the month of Av, leading up to the ninth of Av, which commemorates the destruction of both temples and many other calamities and terrible things that happened to the Jewish people over history. And therefore, we would refrain from eating meat and drinking wine and all these type of things to feel sadness. So in connection to that, I thought we would talk about the topic of failure. Because the truth is that the destruction of the temple, although everything in this world happens from Hashem, including the destruction of the temple, of course, but there was a cause for it. And the cause was a national failure on the Jewish people's part on different things. It depends which temple we're talking about. The Talmud tells us the first temple, it was more of an issue of idol worship. The second temple, it was an issue of what's called sinas chinam, baseless hatred, a lack of unity, which is also very relevant to nowadays. That's a separate discussion. So it was like the Jewish people basically failed to keep both temples. We suffered a great deal as a result. And we're still dealing with it. So I guess something to focus on perhaps is how to deal with failure, both on a national level, as Jewish people as a whole, but also on an individual level. We all have our personal destructions in our life. Many times things happen to us. Sometimes, I mean, like an illness, for example, sometimes it's just purely, from heaven and no reason. We don't understand why these things happen. But a lot of times, bad things that happen to us are as a result of our bad decisions. I mean, let's start off with that, actually. Let's start off with that premise. Are we responsible for the bad things that happen to us in life? That are not purely just, ordained by God.
Okay.
I mean, there's so many examples.
Obviously we do make choices in life, and we certainly have to take some responsibility. I think it's really important to make a distinction between blaming ourselves and between taking responsibility. So first of all, let's talk about failure in general. So I think it's really, really important how we look at failure. At the end of the day, even the failures that come as a result of our poor decisions, even decisions where Judaism tells us we do really have some free choice, because we don't really have free choice when it comes to how things play out in the world, but we certainly have free choice for our own moral decisions. And sometimes we make bad decisions morally, which means we made a bad decision where we actually had a choice to choose right over wrong, or we didn't, and there were some consequences to that. So I'm actually just pausing for a second. I'm using the word consequences. So let's leave punishment out of this. We're not God. We don't know why things happen to people.
That's not the point.
However, sometimes there are direct consequences. You make bad decisions, and things happen. I mean, that's right. It's a consequence. It's not a punishment, just a consequence, right?
Yeah.
It could be in relationships. It could be in lots of things. Even so, while that might be true, but we have to look at failure as the best teacher that we have. We learn from failure. Failure number one, doesn't define us. See, there are two things that can happen with failure. When a person fails, they could just give up and say, well, you know, obviously I'm not capable of this. I'm going to give up trying. It could be, say someone, I'll give you two examples. Give me someone's working on themselves, for example, and they working to become less angry, and then suddenly, I don't know, they just lose it one day, right? So they failed. So they can say to themselves, you know, okay, obviously I'm just an angry person. Nothing helps. I've tried so hard and so on and so forth. Or can you, let's say you just do the wrong thing. You just completely do the wrong thing in relationships. You speak badly. Your communication is terrible. Or spiritual things, whatever the case is. So first of all, this that you say that if you make a mistake, it's like a setback and you just give up. That's a fundamental mistake, because whatever you've achieved till now is an achievement. In my shiurim, I've often given this lecture, this example. I think I heard it from Rabbi Dr. Twersky. He says, let's say if you have to go from point A to point B and it's 10 blocks, right? And you're walking and then like after the sixth block, you trip and you hurt your foot and you can't go further, right? For now, at least. But you're six blocks closer. I mean, you still made progress, right? You haven't reached your destination yet, but you made progress. So that's a really important thing to bear in mind. So you didn't get angry got less angry for 6 weeks. Okay, now that you blew it, fine. But what you achieved till now, you obviously haven't reached your destination of being a calm person yet, but you've at least accomplished a lot, right? And whatever you accomplished is eternal and it's good. But most importantly, failure is something you can learn from, always. The reason why failure exists is because you can learn from it to come out stronger. Like, why did I fail? What mistake did I make? What set me up for failure? Like, what's the environment? What's the consequences? What's the reason that maybe, you know, maybe there's something that triggers me or makes me talk that way or makes me get angry, whatever the case is. So I now have an example of something I can analyze and I can look into it and I can make better decisions in the future. So failure needs to be looked at as our choices might be bad, but failure is good. Failure is a teacher. It's the best teacher we have. And it can, even there's a famous pasuk, there's a famous verse where it says, Sheva yipal tzadik v'kom. Even a righteous person sometimes will fall down seven times and then get up stronger. Mm. Right? So we need to look at failure as a part of becoming stronger. Ultimately, God facilitates the failure and nothing happens, not for a reason. Even when it's in consequence of our own choices, but nevertheless, it's there for a purpose. And everything can be used for a purpose. Even a failure that, so to speak, we brought upon ourselves, we can still learn from it. We can use it.
What do you say about how, I mean, we all do this to some degree, when people fail and they blame other people or circumstances, and they sort of shift. So in other words, you're saying ultimately, you know, everything comes from Hashem, everything comes from God. But how about like blaming, you know, my relationship fell apart, my friendship fell apart, whatever it is. It wasn't me, it was the other person. Right? Well, that's a natural thing. No, people do that. I mean,
Of course. But it goes together, you should know. You see, the problem is this, right? The problem is that people are scared of failure. Why? Because they think the failure defines them as a failed person. Which is gives or they just they hate themselves or they just have a big insecurity. One of the two. Either way, they're resistant to failure, and therefore just give up. And they just either they give up and they define themselves by their failure and call themselves a bad person, or because they're so scared of failure that failure should define them, and they find someone else to blame. Right, which gives in to then what's very common now in the modern time is victim mentality.
Yeah.
So failure, looking at failure in a good way, comes together with taking responsibility. Even the failures that came as a consequence of my mistake, it doesn't define who I am. I'm a better person than that. And therefore, but I have to take responsibility for my decisions. So failure needs to be confronted. I messed up. I'm going to take responsibility for it. It's a good teacher. It's not a bad thing. But I am going to take responsibility for it, learn from it, and become stronger.
Yeah. Maybe we can just try to think of some examples from Torah about both how to fail badly and how to fail the right way, right? I mean, the first example that comes to my mind, and I'd love to hear what you say about this, is the very first failure, actually, of Adam and Eve eating from the forbidden fruit. You know, I don't think they failed well. I mean, they blamed, you know, each one blamed the other one. It was my wife's fault. It was the snake's fault. It was, and they, maybe afterwards, Adam realized he made a mistake. But I think at the time, he didn't want to take responsibility.
So there's a very, very famous contrast between Adam and King David.
Yeah.
Right? Where sometimes when we make a mistake, we do something wrong even, in God's eyes, what's worse than the mistake is lack of responsibility, blaming something else, someone else, ultimately the victim mentality, right?
Mm.
I mean, Adam was a great righteous person, but he was commanded not to eat from the fruit. He did eat from the fruit. But he blamed his wife, and his wife blamed the snake. And I'm not sure the snake could blame, but that doesn't, that's irrelevant. But, right? But contrast that with King David, where without going into the whole thing, you know, we believe King David was a very righteous, big tzaddik, and the sin that's attributed to him is not literal in the way we'd like to think that. But whatever the case is,
King David. On his level, yeah.
Sorry?
On his level.
Something happened on his level that it was a deficiency, and on his level was considered a failure. And the prophet, Natan HaNavi, the prophet Nathan, came to him with a whole introduction and broke it very slowly to him, but he said, you know, you've sinned. You made this huge mistake. And the first words that come out of King David is, Chatati, I have sinned. I take responsibility. And that's it. And God says, well, if you take responsibility, we have a concept in Judaism called Shuvah, repentance, which King David does. You can even read about it in Tehillim, particularly chapter 51 and other times, where he does a very sincere Shuvah. He returns, he cries out to God, he asks him for forgiveness, takes responsibility, learns from it, whatever the case is. And God said, no problem. God expects humans to fail, but he wants us to take responsibility. And if we do something wrong, what can be worse than the transgression is the lack of responsibility. And because the same thing, when you take responsibility, failure actually becomes a good thing, meaning you can use it for the good. It becomes a way to teach you how to be strong in the future. If you don't take responsibility, then failure was a waste of time. And then it's just bad.
Hmm. Do you have any other examples, either on a collective level, on an individual level, on the in the history of the Jewish people?
I'm sure there is. I just can't.
I mean, sometimes, you know, you say that, you know, you have to learn from failure, right? So it is interesting that sometimes we see, and I'll give you two examples for this, that the Jewish nation failed. And yes, they tried to rectify it, but they didn't actually manage to fully fix it. In other words, I'm sort of asking a question here, and I'll give you two examples for that. For example, the golden calf, right? The great sin, they bowed down to the golden calf. And yes, God forgave them, but they didn't quite get back to the level they were at the beginning, right? Or for example, you know, we're coming to Tisha B'Av now. The first temple was destroyed. The Jewish people went into exile. I guess we fixed something up because we were given a second temple. But the second temple was not as great as the first temple. It was a much lower spiritual level. So maybe sometimes we can't really...
Interesting question. So I think you're asking a very Kabbalistic, esoteric question.
Yeah.
But also I think I need to just fix, I think, one inaccuracy in the question maybe. Let's go back to the golden calf. On the one hand, so there's why I say it's an esoteric question, because it's a different issue. Certain things in the world, when you do something wrong, as severe as idol worship, for example, or immorality, whatever the case is, it damages the spiritual fabric of the world, right? Mm. Which is what happened when the Jews served the golden calf. And we are told that until Mashiach come, we're still fixing that stain. We're still fixing that damage that was done to the world. Yet, on the other hand, you do see that the Jews did tshuva. They did repent. God gave them a second chance. He gave them the second tablets. And because they were on a lower level, it's true, the second tablets were not as holy as the first, but they were stronger than the first. They lasted longer. They're still around. And the Midrash tells us that more Torah was taught with the second tablets than the first.
Mm.
You see this in the second temple also. There's an aspect of the second temple that's actually greater than the first. It lasted longer. It was bigger because it revealed a certain strength. Yes, until Mashiach comes, where actually our holiness is not quite the same as it used to be, and might continue to, you know, with the generations, we get further and further away from the giving of the Torah. It's written, and we our level of spiritual level, but that doesn't, a spiritual level don't show our true greatness. What shows our true greatness is our spiritual resilience, our spiritual ability to come back and take responsibility and to try harder. And in a way, that's even more precious.
It's more precious than being on a higher spiritual. So you're saying sometimes we do lose that spiritual level, but get something else.
Because it's not about being spiritual. I mean, it is about being spiritual, but it's not about being on the highest level, especially when the highest level kind of was spoon-fed to you. Mm. Right? The Jews came out of Egypt, they were given the Torah, they were on an amazing level, but it wasn't something they earned. When they did Shiva, when they took responsibility for their failure, something they earned, they became different, they changed.
Right. So here's, I guess, the painful question, maybe something we have to all reflect on in these next few days, because, you know, as we always say every year around this time of year, we don't just mourn and cry for no reason. There's obviously a message we're supposed to take. We're supposed to become inspired and grow from it. Have we learnt from our failure as a nation? We've been here for close to 2,000 years since the Second Temple was destroyed. We still don't have a Third Temple. I don't know why. I mean, you know, we're told by our great righteous people there might not be a reason, actually, and we'll just have to do that one final thing to bring Mashiach. So I'm not going to justify the exile, God forbid. I think we're all ready for the Third Temple. But do you know, looking around, have we learned from our failures? Have we come out stronger?
It's a painful question. So I think there's a couple of things you need to reflect on. First of all, when you say, have we learned, we doesn't only refer to our generation.
Right.
Doesn't only refer to one group of people. Doesn't only refer to one, one generation, perhaps, right? We know that we've been working towards a goal since the temple was destroyed. We've been fixing it. And collectively, with different communities here and there, we have, maybe. There are so many stories of heroism in terms of looking out for others.
Mm.
A story in the Holocaust where people gave up their last morsel of bread so someone else should have what to eat. Ultimately, we see in today's world, in today's Jewish world, the chesed, the kindness that goes on is amazing. The institution of kindness. So there's amazing, amazing stuff. Unfortunately, we still have brothers and sisters, so there's sibling rivalry, so we fight.
Yeah.
We shouldn't. And it's painful, and let's be blunt. It's happening again in Israel now, kind of after October 7th, it became amazingly united. I think it still is united. That was the feeling I got in Israel when I was there. But parts of it isn't. I mean, there's some really bickering and not listening to each other and really bad fighting on all sides.
Yeah.
But I think deep down, we're still all one family. I think we have really connected on a very deep level. And here's the most important part, I think. When you look around, you see there's still fighting going on, there's still baseless hatred, stuff like that. It's very easy to fall into a trap and saying, well, you know, this is all too hard. I mean, seriously, you're going to get the whole Jewish nation? No one's going to fight? Like, like what's Mashiach waiting for? For the whole Jewish nation to be all one big happy family, never to fight, listen to each other, even though they have different views, for like a period of like 2 years? I don't think it's possible. I mean... Bluntly speaking, it doesn't seem that possible. And it's impossible to come to terms with the fact that Mashiach's really waiting for that. But there is, I think it's from the Chofetz Chaim, and I think there's a basic thing that a person has to see, no, it's not about the whole Klal Yisrael, it's not a whole about Am Yisrael. It's about you and me. It's about each person. We don't know what God's waiting for exactly, but it could be that if one person, or one community particularly, like makes an effort in their little circle of influence or their little community, just to get on and not to fight and to put aside the ego and all that kind of stuff, maybe that's enough.
Mm.
So it's not, we shouldn't look at the world and say, it's too hard. We should say, no, it's the 9 days, it's before Tisha B'Av. This is the time to reflect on that. This is the time to really try hard. And maybe it's just about picking up the phone and talking to someone who you had a bit of a conflict with and saying, let's talk. Or someone you just find annoying, you avoid them when you see them, calling them up and saying, how are you doing? Just going out of our comfort zone a little bit to go out for the other, to help someone that needs help, to look out for someone that's, that's been forgotten, that's fallen through the cracks, or whatever the case is. Maybe it's just that. Or to make sure that we don't let our egos get in the way, just within our own circle. And we compromise, or we give up, or we talk respectfully, or we air our differences respectfully, and so on and so forth. And maybe that's it. Maybe that's all we need.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And look, you know, I guess we all try, and then God wants us to talk good about Jewish people also. It's also part of it.
Yep.
So there's a lot of good going on. And I think, you know, after all the suffering that we've been through, I think we've probably done enough and we're ready for the third temple.
100%.
But you're right. You know, the next few days, this is our
mission.
Our mission is to try and reflect on this and to try our best. All right.
Very good, everyone. A wonderful week. And let's hope that we merit to the final redemption very, very soon.
Amen.
All the best. Bye-bye.